What a wonderful moment, what a glorious time. The day I met Jesus, I'm His and He's mine. Blinded eyes are now open, I can see the light of day. What a great jubilation, the night I got saved. When I got up, I knew I'd been changed. I knew my whole life had been rearranged. Now the one you knew then is not the one you see now. I was lost and I was searching, but thank God I've been found. When I got up, I knew I'd been changed. I knew my whole life had been rearranged. Now the one you knew then is not the one you see now. I was lost and I was searching. I was lost and I was searching. But thank God I know I've been found.
Amen.
Thank you, choir.
Ran into an old friend a long time ago at the grocery store, and he said, "Hey, Justin." I said, "No, this ain't the same Justin you used to know." I said, "This is a new man, been saved. God changed my life, and what a blessing. Over 20 years ago, that took place, and still serving the Lord." And so I'm glad for the salvation of Jesus, and once you get a hold of Him, He'll never let go of you. And so what a blessing that is. I want to welcome everybody to Calvary Baptist Church right here in good old Powder Springs. So good to see everybody. And we had a wonderful Carter's Coopertown car wash yesterday. And yeah, if you haven't noticed, a lot of clean vehicles in the church parking lot. And yeah, well, he said. And a lot of red faces. And so appreciate everybody that pitched in yesterday. Come to support, you know, Carter's journey to Cooperstown, and so it did real well, and so thank you very much for doing that. We really, really appreciate that. I know the Martins do as well, and so just remember them as they take off to go that way. When will that be? Is it next Sunday, New York, and so what a blessing. What a blessing. Y'all just come back in one piece. I mean, we are talking about the North here. So, no offense to anybody that's from the North. But anyway, I want to stop rambling before I get in trouble. But so good to be here. So good to see you. Just remember, tonight, service will be downstairs at 5 o'clock. And we'll have snacks at that time, along with a devotion. So, remember that. Next Sunday is Father's Day. And so, there will be a service in the morning, but then no service on next Sunday night. So just spend time with your father, grandfather, that male figure in your life. That's a blessing to you. And so just remember that. All right, there's other things going on this month and next month and throughout the year. I do want to mention this briefly, that this coming up Saturday will be our community outreach at 10 o'clock. So all that would like to help out with that, that'll be great. We'll just go into the neighborhoods like we always do, and we're going to invite people to come and to the church, but also to come to the event, Ivan Parker, which will be on the 22nd, Saturday at 4 o'clock. And so hoping to get a good crowd on that Saturday as well. So just remember all of these things. I believe this coming up Thursday is the ladies' prayer lunch, prayer meeting in the fellowship hall at 11 o'clock. So remember that as well. And it's just good to be here this morning. And I hope you've come to worship. I hope you come to praise the Lord. And I know we have. You glad you're here this morning? Say amen. 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 All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. God, we praise you for all things. It's hard to praise you for the tough times, but we do. Because we know that past the tough times, there's going to be fruit. There's going to be reason. There's going to be maturity. So we praise you for the good, the bad, the ugly. This morning, Lord, I thank you for those who have come. I thank you for those who are tuning in on Facebook and the internet and even our little radio station we have. I pray, God, that the gospel will go forth. I pray your people will be encouraged this morning, Lord. We are living in days of danger. We are living in a time when this world and this world system is trying to be pushed into our homes. Oh, Lord, it's such a battle sometimes. God, help us get everything we can out of the service this morning. Help us not be as those sleeping disciples, but just for 1 hour, watch and pray. Stay plugged in. Help us leave this place this morning with a spring in our step, God, with a song on our lips, Lord, with eyes of faith, seeing through our circumstances and difficulties. God, because we do know that you are with us, you are working, you have something to say today. So, Father, speak. Your servants are listening. We love you today, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Church, choir, if you'll stand with me, turn over to page 393. Page 393, and let's sing together, When We All Get to Heaven. Everyone sing now. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing on the last. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty we'll behold. Soon those pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Again, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord. If you're visiting with us this morning, we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. And please remember all of the announcements. We've got a lot of stuff going on, and we're very thankful for that. And we look forward to Ivan Parker on the 22nd here on that Saturday, and that'll be a great time. Again, we are thankful for yesterday, and what a great, great event. And a lot of money was raised, and I know that, that we're thankful for that. So please be much in prayers. They'll be leaving next Sunday, and that's quite the travel. And we're going to be praying for traveling mercies. Next Sunday, of course, as the pastor said, is Father's Day weekend. Let me give you a special prayer request this morning, if I could leave it with you. I have a friend that he and I worked together with the sheriff's office for some time, and he is now retired, and he's He moved away for a little space, and his daughter passed away Saturday a week ago, and 33 years old. And so next Saturday, unfortunately, I'll be having a part in the funeral service. That's on Father's Day weekend, so that's going to be a very hard time for him. So if you would please remember the Ramirez family in your prayers, and the loss of their daughter, Amanda. So please remember them. It's a tragedy, and it's a terrible time. I met with a family yesterday as they viewed her for the first time since her passing, and it's been a hard week. And so please remember them in prayer, especially as we have the service next Saturday, which we appreciate your prayers. But let's do pray the Lord give us a great day in His house. Amen. And we're excited about being here. Pray the Holy Spirit would fill this place. And I've said this a lot, but I pray that when we leave here, we'll leave here different than when we came in. And that can happen if we're touched by the Holy Spirit this morning. So you pray for Pastor. Thank you, Brother Randy, for helping us out this morning, and you're doing a great job. We appreciate you, and just make our music department a matter of prayer. The Lord knows exactly what we need. But let's go to Him in a word of prayer and ask His blessing on the service this morning as well as the offering. Father, we love you, and we praise you, and we do thank you for the opportunity that we have. Lord, as we have come into your house today, we come here to worship you and to praise you. And you know exactly what we need. Some folks come this morning, I'm sure, with heavy hearts, with needs that need to be supplied. And I'm grateful this morning that you are the one that supplies all of our needs according to your riches in glory. And God, I pray that you would just touch us. Lord, I pray again that you'd fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Use our pastor this morning in a very special way. Lord, bless in the song service. Lord, I pray now that you bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. You know all that is needed here in this place today. And we're going to praise you and we're going to thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
He wouldn't come as they made their way toward the other side. As they left the shore, they faced a storm, and suddenly they feared for their lives. But upon the sea there, someone walked on the water as they listened for his cry. That's when they heard him call out their name, and tenderly he said, "It is I." He's the I. I can't feel the sunshine, and my ship is tossed and torn. He's the eye of the storm. They didn't understand how the Prince of Peace could find them in the middle of their sea. But with a little faith in God's good grace, joy would overcome their disbelief. Now there are times in life when I face the storm, and I wonder if I ever will survive. That's when I hear him call out my name, and tenderly he says, "It is I." He's the I of the storm. I can't feel the sunshine, and my ship is tossed and torn. He's the eye of fear when he is near. Take hold of his strong hand. Listen closely to his words. He is the great I am. He's the eye of the storm. I can't feel the sunshine, and my ship is tossed and torn. He's the eye of the storm. He's the eye of the
He is the eye of the storm, and I remember years ago living down in South Mississippi, Pascagoula, Mississippi, Ocean Springs, just outside of Biloxi. Hurricane season would roll around, and when it did, it rolled around with a bang. Mom and Dad, we actually lived down there. I didn't at the time when Katrina hit, Hurricane Katrina. And they actually, there's a lot of casinos down there on the water, and many of them were pushed out to sea. In fact, Mom and Dad worked in the kitchen of one, and the next day the whole casino was gone. And anyway, a lot of storms, and but there is an eye of a storm, and in the eye of a hurricane, there is a centerpiece where there's a calm. I don't understand that, Brother Allen. I just know it's true scientifically and in nature. And much like the Lord Jesus Christ, the storm may be raging all around us, but there is a centerpiece where there is calm, and Jesus is that centerpiece. So we praise the Lord this morning. I do want to mention a couple things briefly before we open the scriptures, but good to see the Teagues. How is Dustin doing? Is he okay? Yes. 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 Mm.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I wanted you to know I did get your message, by the way. And we were praying. And so we've got a praise, but also we have a prayer. Let's remember that this morning. And it's always good to have Brother Kevin Brook with us, back from Bible college, Christian college, during the summer times. I tell you what, I want to do something a little different this morning. Brother Kevin, would you come on down? And I'd like for you to just take us to the Lord in prayer. If there's anything you want to say, you can do that. But just right on the spot. And we appreciate Brother Kevin. Love him and everything he stands for and what he's doing. So just felt like do things a little different this morning, brother. Doing okay? Good, good. Whatever you want to do, friend.
I'll just pray for you.
Thank you.
Dear Father, I thank you for your kindness, Father. Father God, I thank you for my church home. Father God, I thank you for the things that you've given me, Father. Father God, I thank you for your protection. Father God, I ask that you just help our hearts focus on you, Father. Father God, you know that we need you.
Yes.
So, Lord, I just ask that you would help us to hear from you, Father.
Yes.
I'd ask that you help us to remind us of your Son, Father. Father God, help us to slow down and to understand what you want us to do, Father. Father God, help us to be guided by your hand, Father.
Yes.
Father God, I just ask that you would slow us down. Mostly, Father God, we live so fast.
Yes.
Father God, just help us to hear from you. We don't need all these distractions, Father God.
Amen.
We need you. So, Lord, I just ask that you would help us, Father. Help us to focus on you. Father God, just help your word to guide us, Father. Keep us away from sin and from danger. Father God, remind us that the sin that we do hurts us, Father. And remind us of your love for us, Father. Father God, just remind us that you are what we need. We don't need all these other distractions. Father God, I just ask that you would bless all of us, Father. Help us to understand and help us to get to know your Son, Father. I thank you for your kindness, Father God. I thank you for your protection, Father God. I thank you for this nation. And Father God, I just ask that you would help us to hear from you. I thank you, Father. I pray all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Also, just wanted to say, like, this last semester of school was crazy for me. I took 5 classes. I worked part-time, and I tried to be healthy. So, like, I was super busy. And a lot of the semester, I was super stressed out. But a lot of the times, I would, on Saturdays, I had off days. And I was just reminded that there were people back home that prayed for me. And I just wanted to say thank y'all so much. You have no idea how much it means for me to be able to leave and have people I know that care about me. And that, to me, is more important than a lot of things. Like, it can be tough out there sometimes, you know, being away from home and things like that. But I'm just super grateful that I have a home that cares for me. And I know that y'all care for me. And I know that you pray for me. And I thank you for always, like, letting me have opportunities like this, you know, to speak for small times and whatnot. But it means the world to me that I know y'all care for me. And I just hope that we can, you know, hear from the Lord this morning, because I know that y'all need it, and I know that I need it. So I just hope that we can hear from him. Thank you.
Love Brother Kevin. So proud of him. And appreciate that. Again, it's good. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but it is good to have Cassie's family back with us for the second Sunday. So welcome back. Good to have you guys and all our other visitors who may be here this morning. All right, Book of Ruth, chapter number 2 this morning. Ruth is in the Old Testament, as I'm sure you know. It's just past the Book of Judges. And so you got Judges, and then you have Ruth. And again, appreciate the prayer, Brother Kevin. And Ruth chapter number 2. And I have something I want to mention this morning that I hope will be a blessing and a help to you in your Christian journey. Before we read verse number 1 through 3, I want to summarize what exactly is going on here in the book of Ruth. We have Naomi and her family on a trip to Moab. Chapter number 1 and verse 1, it talks about that. They were experiencing a famine back in Bethlehem. That's where they were coming from. Bethlehem, going to Moab. And family, meaning her husband, Elimelech, and her two boys, Mahlon and Chilion. They were all leaving Bethlehem. Bethlehem, another word for Bethlehem, or the meaning of Bethlehem, means house of bread. Well, there was a famine at the house of bread, in the house of bread there in Bethlehem, so they were going again to Moab. In verse number 1, the Bible says that they were going to sojourn there. Let's just read verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Sojourn. That word sojourn means to turn aside from the road. This was supposed to be a temporary thing. They were going, they were turning aside from the road for a brief moment, and then they were going to come back when things were better. Well, we know that they continued there. The latter part of verse number 2 says that they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Things didn't work out like they thought. They actually stayed longer than expected. And so Naomi and family go to Moab. And then in verse number 3, we see that Naomi's husband Elimelech dies. He didn't even return back home. Verse 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. Can you imagine the experience already? Leaving home, going to a place that has food temporarily, going to stay, but then while you're there, your spouse dies. And so a terrible thing is beginning to unfold here in Moab. I will say that Moab can be a picture of the world. In fact, in Psalm, don't turn there, but Psalm 60 in verse number 8, the Bible mentions and says that Moab is God's washpot. We know that feet were to be washed in basins back in those days, and it was left with dirt and filth. So that's what Moab was a place of dirt, and it was a place of filth. They left the house of bread, where there was no bread, so to speak, at the time, to go to a worldly place like Moab, and while they were there, the man of the home died. And so Naomi's husband, Elimelech, dies. Verse number 4, Naomi's two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, get married. And so even though things were devastating, there were still moments of blessings. The two sons marry. One of the daughters-in-law is named Orpah, and the other is named Ruth. And so we have some ups, we have some downs. Kind of sounds like life to me, doesn't it? Things are good, things are bad, things are up, things are down,
Things happen we don't plan to happen. They devastate us. We find grace and we keep going forward. And so there's a marriage, two marriages that take place. Verse number 4, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And so Elimelech has been dead for 10 years. Naomi has two daughter-in-laws for the past 10 years. Things were fine and things were dandy. Still no return back to Bethlehem as initially said. But now we see that the two sons die. Verse number 5. And Mahlon and Chilion died. Also, both of them. And the women, or the woman, was left of her two sons and her husband. And so we see the two sons die. And now the two women are left with Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth. So verse number 5 tells us that. And then we find out in verse number 6 that Naomi hears that there's bread in Bethlehem. The famine is over. And so there's the death of her two sons. Bad news, but good news. There is bread back in Bethlehem. This roller coaster ride continues. And then in verse number 14, we know that Orpah decided to stay in Moab. But the Bible says that Ruth, she clave unto Naomi. Look at verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. So Orpah stayed in Moab. She gave her mother-in-law a kiss. See you later. I'm staying here. Of course, Ruth just clave unto Naomi. And so they are making their way back to Bethlehem. And in verse number 22, the Bible says, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Something amazing is about to happen back in Bethlehem. God takes care of Naomi, and God takes care of Ruth and totally provides for them through a man named Boaz. And so there were some details that began to take place and transpire back in Bethlehem. These details were things that God was working on His part. Naomi and Ruth had no idea what God was working on. They were just heading back to Bethlehem. Again, Naomi lost her husband, her two sons. Ruth, she lost her husband. There's bread in Bethlehem. They're going back there. And while they're there, God is beginning to show them some things. More specifically, Ruth. They had no idea about what God was putting together back in Bethlehem. This morning, with that thought in mind, I like to preach for a few moments on this subject. God is in the details. God is in the details. Or if you like this one, God is in your story. God is in your story. This morning, God indeed is in the details. I think sometimes we get bogged down and we strain, as the Bible says, at gnats. We wonder how things are going to work out. We are futuristic people. We are looking down the road at our church. We're looking down the road within our families. Just how is everything going to work out? We get so fixated upon the future that we forget that God is doing some pretty awesome things now, and He works in the details now. And so I want us to see that here in this story of Naomi and Ruth when they get back to Bethlehem. How that God was working in some particular details so that those women can get fed and they can be taken care of financially. So a few things this morning that Ruth personally experienced. A few details. Number 1, in chapter number 2, verse 1 through 3, Ruth was in the right place. She was in the right place at the right time. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman or a near relative of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Look at verse number 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. That word hap there, it means just so happened. Or it means an accident. In other words, we know that Ruth, there were many fields that she could have gleaned from. But Ruth, she chose this field. She didn't have a lot of thought about it. The Bible doesn't indicate she even prayed about it. She could have chose from many fields to go into to glean from, but her hap just so happened she began to glean from the reapers in the field of Boaz. And so we see that Boaz was a kinsman or near kin to Elimelech. Verse 1 says that. Verse 1 also says that Boaz was a man of wealth. He was a wealthy man. And so let me just think a minute. Okay, what a coincidence, right? What a happen chance that out of all the fields in Bethlehem, that Ruth, she picks the one where the near kinsman owns the field. He's a wealthy man, part of the family. What a coincidence, right? Or was it? You see, Ruth, she didn't give no thought to this field, what field to go to. She didn't even pray about it. She just says, we're hungry. I'm going to go get some corn. And she happened to light in the field belonging to the relative, the very wealthy man. And so her accident was God's providence. This wasn't coincidence. This was divine guidance. This morning, sometimes we go through life, we have our struggles, we have our battles, and we want God to answer prayer, and we do our very best to make wise decisions, and there's so much we have to do. There's the future, and oh God, we got to get things in place for the future, and we do our very best to live our lives. And sometimes we're filled with anxiety and fear and worry, worrying how it's all going to work out. Can I say this morning, if God is our Savior, if Jesus is our Lord, and we acknowledge Him in everything we do, we can't miss. If we acknowledge Him in every step we take, we may think we just happened to choose this way or just happened to choose that way. Listen, our accidents is God's providence. This morning it's all about being at the right place. And you see, Ruth was at the right place, although she was totally unaware of those minor details. God this morning is working in the details in your life. If I didn't believe that, I might as well close this Bible up, walk out the door, and never come back. Because it's true. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God is at work in the details. What's going on at school? I know school's out for the summer, but there's situations in school that you got to face when you get back. There's things at your job that you're facing. There's family matters and family problems, and we need a pianist or a keyboard player here to church. And listen, we could easily get overwhelmed by all of these things and say, oh, Lord, what are we going to do? But I wonder if this was placed in the Bible, how Ruth just happened, Brother Harold, to land in Boaz's field, a near kinsman, a wealthy man. She just happened to land there. She just happened to glean. She didn't pray about it. She just knew she was hungry and she needed to go get food for her and her mother-in-law. Let us not fret over life situations. Easier preached than lived, I tell you. Let us not be filled with worry and anxiety and all of those things, because we know that there is an unseen hand that is guiding us through this weary land. God has a way of picking up our feet. God has a way of working out the details this morning. Don't fret, don't worry. God has a Boaz in your field. This morning, He's our provider. And you know, I spend way too much time, Brother Allen, worrying day to day. And I know I shouldn't worry. And I know I'm the preacher at the moment preaching, and I say I worry. Guess what? I'm just like you. God has to wake up. You can trust me. And certainly, God is trustworthy, and God comes through each and every time. And He proves to me over and over and over again, He will meet my needs and my family's needs. But I experienced these new situations that I've never experienced before. And I'm in uncharted waters. I can't call nobody. I can't talk to nobody because they've never been there before. It's just something fresh and something new. And so we began to experience these new things. I began to experience these new things. And then what do I find? God somewhere in the details, even in my new dilemma, God had something He was putting together. A missing piece to the puzzle that I could not see. I had no experience in. But God was working. This morning, God is in the details. You need to be at the right place. Maybe you are at the right place, but it just doesn't seem like the right place. Keep waiting. Keep praying. Be attentive to details, because God certainly is working in the details. He worked in the life of Ruth, and He'll work in the life of you as well. And so she was in the right place. Verse number two, Ruth knew she needed to go. Look at verse 2 again. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. She just knew she needed to go. She was hungry. Not only she knew she needed to go, she was hungry, her mother was hungry, but she was humble. And glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. If anyone shall be merciful to me, we will eat. And so I say this morning, as you go, as you live your life, go, move forward, but stay humble. And God will direct, because God directed her right to Boaz. And so we see that there, that she was in the right place. Again, you may be at a place where you're not sure what's going on. Could it be God providentially is sharing some details with you? Could it be that God providentially is working something for your good? I think it is, and I think it could be. Number one, she was in the right place. Number two, she met the right person. She met the right person. Ruth went to the field of Boaz unknown. unknowingly, by the providence of God, Ruth met the right person that would care for her, that would take care of her and love her. The providence of God led her to the right place, but the providence of God led her to the right person. Verse number 5, notice if you would. The Bible says, "Then said Boaz unto his servant, what was that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this?" Who is this lady? And then we see in verse number 6, "And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." And in verse number 7, we see Ruth's plea. And she said, "I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. She wanted to gather from the reapers, the leftovers on the ground after the reapers came and got all of the harvest. She was pleading for it. Look at verse number 8, Boaz reply. "Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." So Boaz says, "I don't want you to go gleaning in any other fields of Bethlehem. I've got all you need in my field. I've got drink for you." He says, "Keep your eyes on my field. Stay in my field." You see, Ruth, she met the right man in the right place. Is this coincidence or is God in the details? God this morning is in the details. She met the right person. She was in the right place. Aren't you glad this morning that in our brokenness, much as Ruth and Naomi were broke coming back from Moab, in our brokenness, God led us to Jesus. He led us to the right person. And Jesus, He has provided for us and He has taken care of us and He will continue to take care of us. My God shall supply all your need according to my riches, His riches in glory. The verse was already quoted 2 or 3 times this morning. Boaz is a picture of Christ. And this morning, God has blessed that broken road from our past life to our life now. And He has saved us and changed us and blessed us. And He will continue to bless us and guide us. It's all about meeting the right person. Jesus is the right person for you. God providentially led us to Him. And God is still leading us unto Jesus. He is, the Bible says in one place, He is as a mother eagle that is stirring the nest and pushing the little eaglets out. And Moses being the writer there, and he goes on and he talks about that, how God was like a mother eagle to us, and He carried Israel and provided for Israel. That's the same God as today. He is like a mother eagle. He stirs in our nests. Things happen and we get uncomfortable. There's part of that stirring process where that mother eagle, she presses over the eaglets. And underneath that nest, where she made that nest, there's sticks and there's pieces of, limbs and trees and bark and all those things, grass, I'm sure, all those kind of things put together. And the more she presses, the more uncomfortable they get. And then she finally gets them stirred up and she gets them to the end of the nest, and she knows they're ready to fly. They just like being in the nest of comfortability. And then so she stirs the nest and she moves them, and then she pushes them out of the nest. And those little eaglets discover that they can fly. This morning, we met the right person at salvation, but at the same time, we are constantly coming into contact with Jesus, and He is stirring our nest, and He is bringing us to Him, and He is wanting us to grow. He's wanting us to mature. He's wanting us to move forward in our lives. And so, she met the right person. And He said in verse number 8, don't go glean in another field. Stay in my field. Reap the benefits I have. Keep your eyes on the field as they do reap and go after them. Child of God, this morning, stay in God's field. Be content with the blessings of God that God has given. Be content with Jesus. He's the one that supplies our every need. Let us not go into the fields of Moab. How many this morning have turned their back on the Lord, have fallen away from their steadfastness in the Lord, who don't go to church anymore? And no, some of them don't even watch on Facebook. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. They have left the Lord's field and they went for Moab. They won't admit it. They won't say it. But that's what's happened. They have left gleaning in God's field and got their eyes off of His field, and they're in another field this morning. God wants us all to be on His field. God wants us to not forget that He is our Boaz. He is rich in grace and rich in mercy and rich in resources. And all we have to do is keep our eyes on Him and stay in the right field. Are you in the right field this morning? Are you in another field? And so we see this. She met the right person. And not only did God allow us to meet Him, Jesus, those that are saved, but God also will allow you to meet the right people in life. God allowed me and Christy to meet. I wasn't looking for anybody. I was fired up about Jesus, just got saved. And my Sunday school teacher said, hey, Rick Cordes, he said, there's a girl that works with my wife. Would you be interested? You know, we were kind of talking. Would you be interested in meeting her? I was caught off guard. I said, I guess. I said, but I'll tell you this. And he said, look, Justin, if nothing comes out of it, she can just be a friend. I said, look, Brother Rick, I don't want another friend. I said, if she's not going to be my girlfriend, I don't want her. And no time for no games, nothing like that. I mean, I wasn't even looking for anybody. And so she came, and we ain't got time to get on to the sappy stuff. But I knew something was different about her, and she knew something was different about me. So went on a date or two. 10 months later, we got married, and we're getting ready to celebrate 19 years this January. Wasn't planning on it to happen. I wasn't even praying about meeting someone. It was just that God was in the details. God not only led me to the right place, but led me to the right person. And I hope she feels, I know she does, for the right person, me too, for her. And listen, this is good for everybody. If you're thinking about a spouse, not just young people, everybody. The dating scene is huge nowadays. Internet dating, and not saying anything bad about that, and meeting this one. There's even speed dating. I heard about that one time. They all go to a room, there's all these little booths, everybody has a time clock, boop, 2 minutes. You talk, and the buzzer goes off, and you go to another table. Speed dating. Hey, 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 where are you from? I don't know. I forgot. I'm going in circles here. Where are you from? Speed dating. Come on now, don't get in no mess. Listen, I said the other Sunday, there needs to be, I'll aim back up, I said dating, there needs to be courting. There needs to be dating. And then one day, if it's the will of God and it works out and they're marriage material, then there can be marriage. But if they don't court well and if they don't date well, they won't marry well. So this morning, God has a way of us meeting the right person. Thank God for my spouse. Thank God for some friends that I have that God strategically has placed in my life. Those I talk to from time to time that really bears a load when I'm ready to give it. Thank God for those helpers of our faith this morning that God places in our life. She met the right person, Boaz. She was in the right place. Her accident was God's providence. You're stressing over a lot of things this morning, but if you would just do this one thing, I promise you, you will have an expected end, as Jeremiah 29:11 says. If you would just focus on Jesus. Now, I don't mean stay at the house all day and just focus, you know, on a cross on your wall. You know, Brother Justice said I got to focus on Jesus. So I'm quitting my job. I'm not going to school. Come on now, y'all. I mean, that's how simple-minded I am. You know what I mean? Somebody tells me to focus on Jesus, I'm like, okay. You know, I'm like, when do I stop? So, I mean, my mindset is catching up with my age. I feel that way. Keep him the centerpiece. Be content with Jesus. Let him be the centerpiece on your table. And plan everything else around it, around him, so that he can affect everything on the table. Don't make Jesus just a piece on the table. Make him the piece on the table. The Bible, in the book of Psalms, 37, I believe it is, somewhere around verse number 3 or 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. God has a way of birthing desires in us when we make him our centerpiece. And so we see here that Ruth, she met the right person, but then let me mention one more thing. Ruth received the right portion. She received the right portion. Look at verse number 14. She received a big portion. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. She ate till she was happy. God help us be happy eaters. Okay? I've been doing some happy eating lately, and I got to quit. I need to be doing more bitter eating than happy eating. Happy eating will throw the weight on you. All right? She ate till she was full, and she left. And so Ruth ate all she could. Thank God for the times that God gives big portions in life. That you eat so much that you're full. Has God ever blessed you so much you just had this beaming smile? You couldn't stop it. God just showed up and blessed you. And so she had the right portion. Boaz gave her all she could eat. Jesus will give you all that you can eat if you let him. But Ruth had leftovers. Look at verse 18. And she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. She had some donkey bags. I can't say that around our little Cooper. Or he'll go, whoop! We try to eat as a family. And you'll hear him. He tippy toes right there. He looks up and he'll cry the whole time we're eating. I'm like, dog, please.
I'm going to grab him up by his tail and swing him into the air. No, I'm not going to do that, but that's what I feel like doing sometimes. I said, dog, I love you, but I hate you. And that's doggy pet owner language. I can't live with you. I can't live without you. I mean, he is the perfect therapist. Ain't that right, Ms. Glenda? Our animals. Perfect therapist, but he's the perfect whiner at the same time. So, got to be careful with the food. But they had, back to our point, Ruth had, she had leftovers. She came with a doggy bag, and she had plenty for her and her mother-in-law. God gives it to us. It runs over, and there's leftovers at times. Thank God not only for the big portions, but for the times where our cup runs over. God gives leftovers after we're full. God gives big portions, but then in verse number 16, God gives just enough. It says, and Boaz speaking, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. He said to the reapers, guys, we are already fed her. She has leftovers. But I want you to strategically place some piles of barley for her on purpose. She's been going after the, she's been going out and gleaning and all this that fell from your reaping and harvesting, but I want you to put a pile here on purpose. Put a pile over here on purpose. Put a pile over here on purpose. Just handful. Is it just me this morning, or not only there's those times where God blesses real big, where it runs over, but there's those times, Brother Harold, where I find just enough. And he put it there on purpose for me to find it. You're here this morning. Your cup's not running over. You're not spiritually full. But I will say this. God has strategically placed a handful for you somewhere to eat. It may be today you'll find it. It may be tomorrow you'll find it. It may be sometime this week you'll find it. You say, Brother Justin, that's the book of Ruth. That doesn't apply to us. Yes, it does. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable. God has strategically placed handfuls of blessings whenever we need it on purpose. God's in the details this morning. You see, if you're like me, I worry at times, and I get stressed at times. And we ought to be good people of responsibility and plan accordingly and all that. But it's like whenever you plan and you stress and you try to turn it off up here, sometimes it don't turn off. It just keeps playing. And I have to remind myself, oh God, help me not be filled with anxiety. Oh God, please help my mind. Help me bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God, help me know that there is a portion for me somewhere this week that I will need, and it's going to be at the right place, at the right time, by the right person. And not only do I pray things like that, and that's my prayer today, but I'm sure you feel the same way, and that's a prayer of yours this morning. Do you need a portion this morning? God has a portion for you. But it all has to start at the center. And that is Jesus being the center. Ruth, her and Naomi went back to Bethlehem, not knowing what was awaiting them there, coming out of a devastating past 10, 15, perhaps 20 years even, back in Moab. And she went to a field. Just so happened it was Boaz's field. He sufficed her needs, took care of her, and gave her the right portions at the right time. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you for who you are, for what you do, Lord. I pray, God, that you'll just take this little message and apply it to every heart. Help us be hard after you, God. Help us follow you hard, Lord. Help us just understand that the things that we stress over, we shouldn't. But just know that you're in the details. You're working behind the scenes. Things we're not even aware of, Lord. Increase our faith today. Give liberty during this time of invitation. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Let's all stand this morning. If you need to come, would you please come? This is the time of when we do business with the Lord. Nobody's pointing, nobody's watching, nobody's laughing. That's why we're here, is to do business with Him. If you need to come, come this morning.
Search me, oh God.
Come and get that portion.
And know my heart today. Try me.
Anybody else?
Oh, say.
Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? I think I'm saved. I was baptized once. Well, why don't you just come and we can talk about it? If not now, even after the service.
See,
baptism doesn't save us. Our works doesn't save us. But the grace of God through faith saves us. Whatever the case may be.
In me.
You may already be saved. You just need to come pray. Come pray.
And cleanse me from every sin.
Time.
And set me free.
Amen.
I praise thee, Lord.
This is your invitation on Facebook as well.
For cleansing.
Do business with the Lord right in your living room.
From sin.
Or even on our website if you're listening audibly.
Fulfill thy word.
Stay in the right field.
And make me pure within. Fill me with fire.
Anyone else? There's still time for you.
Where once I burned with shame, and grant my desire to magnify thy name.
This place off. If you don't mind, while these two are finishing up, and there's still time if you need to come, do business with the Lord. We'll just be silent for just a second. Certainly appreciate you being here this morning, and hope you got what you came for, what you were looking for. Remember, it's tonight at 5 o'clock. We'll share something downstairs and have us some snacks. So please be back with us then. Brother Allen, anything to mention? All caught up? All right. So, all right. Well, let's just everyone have a great afternoon. Be safe out there, and Lord willing, we'll see you here in a little while. All right, Brother Seelong, would you close us out in a word of prayer today?